chances are you've been watching the fuel prices quite a lot lately, sometimes watching with delight. But do you ever wonder how those prices are determined, where all the money goes, and how it splits up? We've got Mark Borlase on the line from the RAA to tell us a little bit more. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Good morning.
I know you and Jordan have talked quite a bit throughout the year, really, about fuel costs. Just wondering, before we get into our discussion, can you just break down some of the broad relevant factors we need to think about into how those prices are determined?
Yeah, so the basic issue I think everybody probably needs to understand, regardless of what the price is, the first 43 cents is taken by the federal government. And then they take another 10% on top of that as GST. And so, on average, the insurance, government taxes take about 38% of the price of the fuel. And then there can be some other licensing things in states and that add to that cost as well. So, and then after that, so if you look at today, the terminal gate price, that's the wholesale price of the fuel, is about $1.04. So, if you take the 43 cents out of that, that sort of leaves us about 60 cents, 61 cents for the oil company, and 47% of the total cost of fuel. So on $1.04 is about 50 cents. So 50 cents is the cost to get the crude and bring it here and refine it, or bring the refined petrol in. So on average, the industry work on about a 15% operating margin, which has to pay for their cost of storing it, transporting it, margins, profit, etc., and stuff like that. So, but the that's regardless of the price. You know, when fuel was $0.90 at one stage, the government was still taking 43 cents off of it. So, and that's indexed every 6 months by CPI. And interestingly, because CPI has gone down, the mechanism doesn't ratchet down, it just stays there. So, so the federal government are getting around about, about $13, $14 billion a year just from excise that comes through. So, it's something to bear in mind. So, as I said, the wholesale price now at $1.04. I think the average in the regions is around $1.18 right now. So, there's the 14 cents margin on it. We've just had in the city, it was down as low as 99 cents, so losing money on it. And just recently, in fact, the last day or so, it's jumped to $1.50, so they've got a very big margin in it. But that's just the nature of the way the price cycle works in the city. But I think it's important to just remind the your listeners that, the government do get a large slug of the money straight up front, regardless of what the price is.
Yeah, definitely. Taking that on, is there anything we can, use that knowledge for? Anything we can get out of that? Whether as consumers trying to find or think about when to fill up?
Yeah, look, so one of the things that is important in the regional areas, there is difference between the region. So Port Pirie's traditionally been one of the cheaper towns. Port Augusta's been one of the dearer towns. So those people who for work or whatever, have to commute between them, it's worthwhile using one of the apps to see what the price difference is, whether you decide to buy in your town or if you're heading out to the other town. Or conversely, if you're coming into the city, like it's cheaper if you're coming into Adelaide in the next, week or so, you're probably better off filling up at home, because you'll find it's going to be cheaper at home than it is going to be in the city. So and it's considerably cheaper. You're saving 30 cents a litre. So, on a tank refill, that's 15 or 20 bucks. It's in your pocket. Keep reminding people, even locally, if you see fuel that's only 1 or 2 cents cheaper, make the effort to try and build it into your trip so that you reward those cheap prices. Because if you don't change your buying behaviour, the oil companies won't change their selling behaviour. And so it's important to use your dollars wisely, not just to save on a budget, but also change the oil company's behaviour.
All really good points to think about. Mark, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I have been, of course, listening to the Leon Byner Morning Show on Classic Hits. There's been some discussion lately about mandatory roadworthy inspections for vehicles. Wondering if you could speak on any of that or just have any tips that we can stay on top of it for our own vehicles, making sure we are driving roadworthy cars.
Well, a couple of bits to that is the RIA has always opposed mandatory annual roadworthy things because 90% of people do the right thing. And I think New South Wales, maybe in the Northern Territory, the only states that still have it. Everybody's moved away from it because it has no real, real major road safety effect. And what happens is 9 out of 10 people each year are paying the motor industry to have their car checked, knowing that there's nothing wrong with it. And the 1 in 10 that probably aren't doing the right things, if history in other states is any way to, anything to go by, they find ways of getting through the roadworthy without presenting their car. So we've always supported random roadsides. That is where you have a bunch of trained technicians supported by the police, and you just, same way a random roadside breath test work, you just randomly pull cars over. Now, have a quick check so that people aren't held up too long, but it does a couple of things. It allows them to use their resources more efficiently. It gets the mindset that you don't have just to have your car roadworthy for that one day of the year when it goes for its annual inspection. You have to keep your car roadworthy 365 days of the year. And for those people who are going the other way and see that thing, it might be a bit of a prick to their conscience to go, that's right, actually, I do need to replace those tyres. I better do them now. So we've always opposed it. So the best thing that people can do is, to be honest with you, just get your car serviced regularly, because the repairers do look for roadworthy stuff and safety stuff. Now, there's always a chance they might oversell, but, if that is, tell you to prematurely replace stuff. But if in doubt, just ask them to hold it, and if you can shoot down and get them to explain why it needs to be replaced, like say brake pads, and you think, well, they've gone a bit quick, get them to, if it's not too far away, shoot around and say, can you show me what the brake pads are, and they'll explain why they need to be replaced. Other things for keeping your vehicle roadworthy are just simple things that you can probably do at your garage, just making sure all your lights work, either by looking at the lights on the walls as you turn the indicators and brake lights, etc. on. But a really handy thing that can make your car illegal is to make sure your headlights are correctly aimed, especially for country drivers. And the best way to make sure that they're safe, that is they're angled out in front of the car but slightly down, is when you're driving to the carport, you'll see the line of two lights on the wall, and as you reverse out, that line of light on the wall should go down the wall as you come out, meaning your headlights are aimed down. If they're going up as you move away, it means those headlights are out of adjustment and shining into the faces of other people coming on towards you. So not only dangerous for them, it's also dangerous for you because they could run into you.
That's very comprehensive then. Thank you so much for that, Mark.
Thanks for your interest.